Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Instigators with Pauly D and Chris Kotsopoulos.
Oh, here we go.
That's a bunch of garbage.
And it's being proven right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was a staunch defender of that.
You know, if he doesn't stand on his head in the second period, we don't have a chance.
A save by Lundqvist. Hendrick.
Why not? That's a chance, and that's the reason why.
Fans are really, really knowledgeable on that, and I'm very impressed with that. If that's anybody else but Alex Ovechkin, that's an automatic suspension.
With this specific player, if he doesn't get 10 games or more, it's a disgrace in the face of the NHL.
Welcome to the insanity we like to call the Instigators Hockey Show. I'm Pauly D. He's former NHL defenseman Chris Kotsopoulos. Tonight, Kotsy and I have a million things to cover, but of course we'll be talking about the NHL playoffs and so much more. We'll be covering the New York Rangers. We got a lot to do. Make sure you check out ChrisKotsopoulos.com, located in the link section of the show page. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you question or comment for the show, would like to advertise with us, shoot us an email at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. If you need a website design or a page lift, hit up Kotsy's Designs, webs and blog site, blog designs, creation of logos, letter marks, combination marks, advertisement flyers, and a whole lot more. Cody Kotsopoulos is offering it all. For more details and contact information, go to kotsysdesigns.com. I want to make a quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Pasco County I-9 Sports. An experience beyond the game. And also, I have to tip my hat for our new producer, Beth Penny. She has been fantastic in this situation. She's been real good helping me out, getting a lot of things done, promoting the show. So, Beth, can't thank you enough for all that you've done. With that, let's get started right away. Chris, I don't even know where to start.
I'll start for you in our little private conversation before the show started. I just want to let everybody know that the games are on NBC Sports and USA. Pauly was complaining about not knowing where all the games are, and the NHL is doing a pretty, as usual, brilliant job of letting everybody know where to watch the games. So that's where you're going to get your hockey tonight. All four games will be on.
It's sad. You know what? That's the first place we're going to start. You know, Chris was being funny, but it's not funny. For a game that needs all the attention it can get, and we'll talk about that, but, you know, I don't know about many fans. You know, USA Network, we're watching hockey. When this year, other than the playoffs now, did anybody watch a game on USA Network? No.
Well, the last time was on USA Network was in the 80s, wasn't it?
I don't even know, but I will tell you this. I'll tell you this. You know, sometimes you get home from work, you want to shove something down your throat. You know, some guys like me, I get home late depending on, you know, 7 o'clock, game starts. I don't want to search. I want to go to NBC. I want to go to ESPN. I want to go to places where I know they're going to play hockey. To have to find it on USA Network and not for the NHL website to say it's on USA Network, you know, commercials being held, things like that, where it's like, you know, known to go watch the other game.
Yeah, anyway, and you also got to go to business network of theirs too, up CNBC or something like that too, for games once in a while too. I agree with you. It's all over the place, but you know, that's the negative, but I'm going to throw the positive and kind of cool you down a little bit. At least they're showing them all.
Yeah.
You just got to find them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty easy, but All right, let's get into something real big. First of all, it's updates right now. I'm going to try and keep everybody updated. Obviously, if you're on your cell phone, or your Android, or whatever, it is 2-0 Philly with about 8.5 minutes left in the second period. And as soon as I get a chance, I'll take a look at the Islander game on the USA Network.
0-0.
I'll be over there in a minute.
0-0 in that game.
With that, let's start with one of the big topics I'd like to talk about. Something that a lot of people are talking about. Something new this year that the NHL decided to stick in our mouths, I'll say. The Coach's Challenge. Throughout the year, the Coach's Challenge has taken place, but it has seemed to dominate early in the playoffs here. The Coach's Challenge has been the focal point of the postseason so far. Through the first 18 games, there have been 8 Coach's Challenge, 4 challenge offside plays, and 4 challenges for goaltending interference. 3 of the 4 offside challenges were successful, resulting in a goal being waved off, and the reviews have been lengthy. With linesmen huddling and small tablets near the penalty box, 10 minutes of real time often come down to millimeters, and they have been incredibly impactful. Tati, I know what you're going to say. I know how the people feel, but we got to cover it. This Coach's Challenge, what are your thoughts with how it's unfolded here in the playoffs so far?
Well, it's actually, I have to admit it, it's worked right, I guess, but it's also impacted games big time. If you go back to the first one in St. Louis there, I mean, this series would be over already. They would have swept Chicago. They had a goal overturned where they were going to be up by, 2-1 with less than 5 minutes to go or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was going to be like either a clinching goal or giving them a little extra goal going late in the game, and Chicago came back, tied it up, and won it. It worked for Chicago. Last night it worked for Pittsburgh, if I'm correct. I mean, the Rangers score a goal and they'd be up 2-0 instead. Instead, it's a 1-0 game. So, I mean, I don't mind getting it right. But where does it end, in the end? Where's it end with this stuff? If you want to get things right, then, I mean, I know we're going to get into it later, but there's a few things that have happened that didn't get called on the ice. But you can't challenge it, these certain things, and obviously, the NHL tries to review them afterwards, and, I don't know. Where does it stop, Paulie? You know what I mean? Like, how many are they going to get? Are they going to demand 3 of them one dot, somewhere down the line? Or, 2, 3, 5? Is it going to get more? I don't know. I'm mixed on it right now. I mean, it's worked. It's worked in favor of the people that have pulled that Trump card out. But it also slows down the game. It takes too long sometimes for them to get it right. I mean, I think one time it was like 5 minutes there. It took forever. If you remember the one game in Chicago, or actually in Pittsburgh this year, they had to go to the review to find out it was Victor Stahlberg that they were calling for a penalty, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, it took them 5 minutes to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know where I am with this. I'm mixed with it. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that you've made a great point in our private conversation, and it's okay. We're going to just I'm not going to worry about the format tonight at all. We are where we are, and it is what it is, but
yeah,
I know you tried to
place.
Hold back here. I know that you tried to hold back here, and I want you to finish your thought, because you made a lot of great points it can change the series. I mean, boy, the Rangers could have used this in the L.A. Kings series in the Stanley Cup. That could have been different for us, but too late, too little too late. But there's a flip side to this that we've both talked about privately, and I want to bring it up, is that and I'm not going to steal your thunder because it's important that you talk about it, was, the Letang situation. And
I was holding back. I was holding that back for later.
I know you were.
Yeah.
I know you were. But go ahead. I mean, I don't want you to. I want you to get it out.
Well, I'm going to get right to it. I mean, here's my thought on it. I watched a video like 20 times already. And anybody, you know, who still has any kind of sanity left in their head wants to tell me that it was not intentional is full of shit. Okay, I'm going to come right out and say it. I mean, Chris Letang knew exactly what he was doing. He was totally aware of what he was doing. That stick was in control totally by Chris Letang, and he knew exactly what he was doing when he got bumped by Dominic Moore. He saw Stahlberg coming, and he just raked him across the face with a stick, and the NHL has the balls and the audacity. Stefan Quentel, a former player who's in charge of league discipline, And the officer comes out and tells you that there was nothing there, to, you know, no here, there, whatever you want to call it. What do they think we're stupid? I mean, does the NHL think we're stupid? There's no difference between what he did and what Duncan Keith did, as far as I'm concerned. And I think a lot of people would agree with me. You know, you try to make it look like you didn't do it intentionally, but you could tell. And
right.
Duncan Keith got 5 games or 6 games. And if the NHL had any, you know, nuts between their legs, they would at least given Letang a 1-game suspension, then all would have been quiet.
Right.
But to say there's nothing there, you know, if you're going to use the replay, you do it right. And don't sit there and try to BS the public, the people to pay the money and watch your you know great game by telling us there was nothing there. And this is not a biased New York Ranger thing. Ask Victor Stahlberg today. He's got 3 chiclets missing, and he's got a cut. And, you know, that to me hurts a lot more than a name-calling situation.
As far as
I'm concerned. And we'll get into that a little bit later, too.
Oh, boy, he's firing me up.
Victor Stahlberg's got 3 teeth missing.
You know, and here's my question, Kotz, because we've talked about this for quite a while now, and again this year. But you know what? This also brings me back to, okay, so we talk about the coaches' challenge and all the reverses that have gone and the positive side for team that would have been taken advantage of. But, you know, if you're going to open this up, then something like this, after the fact, we want to know, as fans and as people that cover this game, we want to know now, where is the review? Where is the explanation of, you don't think this is purposely done? But here's my question. When it's done on the ice and it gets caught by a referee, okay, whether it be a linesman or a regular ref, an official, it's automatic 5 minutes because the blood gets drawn.
That's the other thing I forgot to mention. You said it good right there, Paulie. That was a 5-minute major. Rangers would have been on a 5-minute power play. You want to talk about outcomes of a game, maybe?
Exactly. So there is where I don't understand why the challenge is not allowed in a circumstance like that. But then after the fact, to see it the way it is, if this would have happened and it was seen by a referee on the ice, it would have been called automatic 4 minutes for blood. High stick 4 minutes. And then could have been a 5-minute major for – you know, for what we believe to be intent and a game misconduct. And again, you want to talk about, you know, not being able to use a challenge in a circumstance that could change the outcome of the game. Absolutely. You should be able to use it just like
you know, I'm going to give the NHL benefit of doubt when officials do miss something like that, because let's face it, it happens all the time throughout the year. But when you go back and review it and you still come up, you know, snake eyes with your comments and your response, trying to tell the whole world that there's nothing there, they're full of shit.
Right. I know.
And I don't know how anybody who's reviewing that in the office, period, can look at each other and say, that's right, there's nothing there. Yeah, you're right, there's nothing there.
Right.
How they could say that is just totally absurd.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they review stuff all the time. You and I have debated that and argued that on this show many times. You know, how it wasn't called on the ice, but somehow, some way, they'll go back and review it, and next thing you know, the guy's suspended. Okay?
Right. Right.
And in this case here, it's probably the matchup that the NHL is really drooling about right now. And I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist. Usually the best team wins and all that. But when's the last time Ovechkin and Crosby had a meaningful game together?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love
And you take Chris Letang out on the defense there for at least a game or two, like it should have been, or equal to what Duncan Keith did. How bad's that hurt the Penguins' defense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm being deadly honest here. I mean, in the end, the Rangers got 17 shots last night. They didn't deserve to win. Okay, let's call it what it is. But boy, oh boy, had that been somebody else, and like you perfectly explained it too, and they actually did call it, you know, there would have been cries for suspension from somebody else. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to me that they can look at the review, you know, 24 hours later and come up with an asinine explanation as to why there'll be no hearing or even an investigation on, you know, talking to Letang about what his intention was. I know what his intention was. I played the game. People ain't going to BS me on that one. You're not going to BS me on that one. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he got away with it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got on that one. It's over. It's done. Rangers is going to have to regroup and not worry about it. But you want to? It just defies all logic how they explained it, and you know it just does.
Let me see here. Let me do this real quick. I'm not going to take a ton of calls, but if you guys want to call, I'm going to give you the number now. It's 917-89-3844. That's 917-889-3844. You know what? At the end of the day, Kotz, and I hate to say it, but I agree with you. I am one for conspiracies. I am the one who will sit here and really dissect. And you know I do. I do it on the show all the time. I dissect what I believe has been Gary Bettman's goal since the onset for the almighty dollar. And really, I don't believe the improvement of the game. And before we finish up on this topic with Stolberg, because I know we've talked about this a lot, you know, the players' embellishment throughout the years has gotten worse.
Don't even get me going.
Has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And I wonder, what a shame, because when you actually need the call, because you know what? Stolberg didn't act last night like he got shot like everybody else who, with the stick comes up and grazes the helmet. It looks like the hands go up and the stick gets dropped and they flail in the air. And this guy, he actually takes, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a stick in the mouth and the nose, but when you get your teeth knocked out, it kind of rattles the eyeballs too. And, you know, if you look at Stolberg, obviously you can see the pain and everything else, but you look at these other players throughout the year who just dive and act like they've been shot in the back of the head, and yet Stolberg went to his knees pretty slow. He kind of, you know, he didn't even look. You had to take a second glance. So, you know, I wonder how much that plays in a role.
Well, it's because some players still have a little pride, but most are manipulating the rules now because of the – again, I'll use the same word I used a little while ago, asinine rules that the NHL has put in. And I've told you over and over again, and I tell people publicly, you know, I always joke about hockey players, we're not very smart, but let me tell you something, we are. And we know how to manipulate rules, and that's what they're doing right now. The National Hockey League, 90% of the guys on the ice, they know how to manipulate these brand-new rules that they've had to play with over the last 5-7 years. They know how to do it. And then the NHL, in return, 2 years ago, decided we're going to start calling more embellishment penalties. Well, that was their way of saying that, you know, we screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, we screwed up, so we'll keep an eye on people embellishing stuff. But they don't even really do that right either. So, but every time the NHL makes a mistake with a rule, they come back with another rule to kind of cover it up with.
A rule for the rule that we frigged up the first
time. Yeah, well, the scoring didn't happen the way we thought it would on the icing calls by keeping the tired team on the ice. So we'll add the rule about if you flip the puck out in your own zone, that's going to give you an automatic penalty. Just another one of the – I mean, I that one's the dumbest rule ever I've ever heard in sport. But anyhow, I regret.
The trap – Yeah, no, we do, but you think about it. Can't flip it over the boards, the trapezoid, all this crap that this man has fed us throughout the years. And it's so funny because I honestly think it's crazy how the fans year after year take a little bit more, and this game gets watered down more and more. And me personally, I hate this coach's challenge thing, whether it's for my team or against my team. I think – that, you know, it is what it is, and this game is fast, and it should be played the way it's played. And I'm not a big fan of this. I think it hurts the game. And on the flip side of it, it's so funny because this league has tried to do everything to put more pucks in the net, and I swear at times, Kotze, their stupidness reverts to the opposite, and it's almost pleasurable.
It has,
and it's pleasurable to watch their failing very bad in the ways of trying to put more pucks in the net. But as you said, we digress, and we have a lot to do. I want to spend a good 45 minutes, or if not more, on the New York Rangers for the three games that have been played. Okay. Here's another, I think this is huge. And I also think this is another really big mistake by the NHL. The search for the perfect playoff format. The NHL's new format instituted 2 years ago dilutes the value of an 82 game regular season. Guaranteed first round eliminations for one of the Eastern Conference's top four teams in the Rangers or Penguins just seems wrong, especially after I clipped it out. I'm sorry. But the Blues and the Chicago Blackhawks, both amassing over 100 points. All these teams amassing over 100 points. Somebody's going to have a long first-round exit when these teams all year long have jockeyed for position and have earned the right to at least, you know, I get everybody's going to go home at some point, but the format is horrible. The New York Rangers, let's say the Rangers get out of this or the Penguins get out of this, they now have to the Washington Capitals. Here's the problem with this whole thing. The New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins had better records than the New York Islanders, than the Philadelphia Flyers, than the Tampa Bay Lightning, than the Detroit Red Wings. Yet, they're looking at an early exit. One of these two of the four teams that I just spoke about will exit early and be a better team on record than teams that are going to move on. And that just seems strange.
Well, it's another I'm glad you finally figured it out. We're only halfway through the first round because I had no clue how it went. I didn't even want to try. But I guess the only math they really know when they brought up this format is how to cash their paychecks. Because this math don't compute.
Right.
You know, what's so hard about 1 versus 8? You know, 2 versus 7.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know what's so hard. I mean, that's like Sesame Street type logic, but it works.
And it's, you know, and it's fair.
I don't get it.
It's fair.
Yeah, it's not. You're right. I mean, I remember we were talking about it. I was kind of confused and everything else as to, they started this last year, right? Am I correct? It was last year. First time they started this formula.
Yes.
They've carried it through this year, and you know what? You're right. It's somewhere along the line here, you're not going to get the best teams advancing into the second round.
Right. Right. So, it's awful. It's awful.
But the math don't work out for it the way I look at it. But as long as they cash their paychecks, that's when they care about the math.
And I don't understand what the purpose of changing the format was originally when, you know, and I think this is going to, I believe that this will get discussed shortly or soon in one of the GM meetings that they have down in Boca Raton.
Well, it should be.
I think this is a huge mistake that the league has made. You said it well. You know, at the end of this, you're not going to have the best teams. You're not going to have the best teams challenging. You said it also, too. Simple math. You know, the team that broke their ass the whole way through 82 games and compiled more points deserves a higher seed in the rankings, which in turn would allow them to play the lesser seed.
And you can also manipulate the system, too, eventually, if you want, really. If you're in one of those tight chases towards the end where you can go from sixth to third, but if you go to third, you might have to face this team instead of, well, if we stay in sixth, we could face a team that's a little weaker. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's all the possibilities are there of teams, like, tanking games, you know, at the end of the season. So, yeah, I still don't quite understand it. But it does make a lot of sense to me that, you know, let's see. One, the top team plays the eighth place team. Two plays the seventh place team. It's pretty simple, people. Spell it out together. Cat, C-A-T, cat.
Keep it simple, you morons.
I mean, it just makes no sense.
Oh, my God.
But
that's great.
What does
that's
in sports
great.
Today? It's not just hockey. It's all sports, so.
Well, again, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I will say this. Something needs to be done. This is another situation where
It's going to be up to an owner. It's going to be up to an owner who's going to lose a little extra money and, you know, not think his team, you know, should have been beat, you know, in the first round and, you know, and all that stuff. And it's going to take one of them to step up and, you know, and slam his fist on a table in front of all the Board of Governors and the NHL brass. Say, this has got to change. I'm not putting up with it anymore.
Yeah, well, I think you know what? You've made a great point, and I think it will change because at the end of the day, you just simply don't have the best teams challenging for the Stanley Cup.
Well, you know what? Let's keep an eye on what happens after the first round and who finished where, and then we'll discuss it in one of our next shows, you know, as it goes on.
Yeah.
Just to see how it falls out, you know.
Right, and again, it's a shame to see. I think it's a shame to see the Chicago Blues series. You know, one of these teams is going home, and
I think it's pretty clear who's going home.
it's not necessarily the best way that this should be. So, anyway. I mean, you know, that's one team, though, the Chicago, the Blackhawks. I don't know. That's one team.
I told you they were vulnerable this year, and I was right.
I can't count them out just yet.
I am. I told you they were vulnerable this year. I told you early in the season that.
I know, but I'm still not, you know. I tell you what, the Blues, they're scary. They're scary. Aside from the Penguins, they're one of the hottest teams coming out of the, you know, out of Christmas break, and they were just scary. They are just scary.
If it was not for a coach's challenge that saved Chicago, I think it was game one or game two, this series would be over.
Yeah, well, coach's challenge. All right. I want to move past this. Don't worry, guys. We're going to get to a lot of Ranger talk. Three games. I got stats. I got all kinds of fun stuff for everyone. Last thing I want to talk about, because, again, it's important. And, you know, once again, I got it to my good friend and co-host of the show, because Chris has said this time and time again, and I'm not sure, and I know, Beth, you're in the lines here. If you could find out for us, Beth, the last time not one Canadian team was competing in the playoffs for the Stanley Cup. But with that, we'll have Beth look into that. But playoff TV ratings down a shocking 61% in Canada. I am a little surprised with this, because the Canadians, they turn the TVs on and they watch hockey anyway. But with no Canadian team being in the playoffs, 61%, having no Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs was expected to have an adverse effect on TV ratings. But even people in the industry are taken back by how viewers north of the 49th parallel have turned out this year's tournament in CBC and Sportsnet. Through the first five nights of hockey and playoffs from last Wednesday, April 13th through Sunday, April 17th, an average of just 513,000 viewers tuned in to the 20 NHL playoff games. That's compared to last spring, where there were five Canadian teams playing in the first round and the average of 1.3 million viewers tuned in the first 21 first-round games. That's a drop of 61% from last season. Kotz, I'm just going to let you fill in the gaps here, because we've covered this. You've talked about this a lot of times, about the difference in the two countries and the sport.
Yeah, I think you hit on it right at the beginning of this. You know, the bottom line is it's really going to be interesting to really finish off this topic someday by knowing what and when was the last time Canadian teams never made the playoffs, because I'm not sure it's ever happened, or if it has, it's been a long time, or it's a rarity. And I think the Canadian mentality is listen, right now there's more hockey being played across the country of Canada in arenas, in suburbs, in farmland, and hockey's 24/7, 365 days there when it comes to your 3-year-old all the way up to the guys in the drunk league, okay? But I think my time in Toronto, for example, if you were a Calgary Flame fan or you were a Vancouver Canuck fan and your team was out and we were still in the playoffs, you cheered for us. Canadians will cheer for the next Canadian team once their team's out.
Right.
And so now, they wake up in the morning and they're looking around to cheer for a homegrown team from anywhere, from any of the provinces. And guess what? You see nothing but a big goose egg there. There's nobody there. There's no Montreal Canadiens. I mean, there's nothing to hang your hat on, So it surprises me a little bit, but it doesn't in a way. You know what I mean? Because that's the way Canada is. Okay, my team's out, so who's the only Canadian team left? Okay, that team is. I'll watch them and I'll cheer them. I mean, It's probably the same way down here. I mean, how many U.S. Fans would really cheer a Canadian team over an American team? You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know about that, because I do remember when Tampa was playing Calgary. I mean, the whole country of Canada wanted Calgary to win, and I think
sure.
I think the 100 people in the United States at the time wanted Tampa to win. I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? I mean, I know how nuts it was up in Canada for Calgary that way back in 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little shocking, but not as shocking as I think you were expecting me to say. I if there's zero teams up there, that's just the way it goes. You know? I mean, come on. We were talking about this early in the year. There was a possibility of no team making it, and it happened. And if Beth can come up with it, or you can come up with it, or maybe I'll look around and see, you know, what the story is on that. When's the last time a Canadian team did not make the playoffs? Is going to be an interesting. I'm interested to know. Other than now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big factor, Paulie, right there.
Hands of Bruins. Missing playoffs sometimes that would happen in the next quarter. I got something here. She's so good.
All right.
She's so good.
Cool.
She sent
cool.
me something here. I'm just trying to proofread it. It looks like 69-70, but let me get this
well, there
right.
There you go. Not like you weren't even born then.
Montreal Canadiens narrowly missed the playoffs with both the Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs missing in 1970 Stanley Cup playoffs. It was the first time in league history that none of the NHL's Canadian teams qualified for the playoffs. Beth, you are amazing. Yep.
And you know that's 69, that is amazing. 70. But you know what? It's really not even that's like really in my mind a true sign of it, Paulie. Because in 69-70, how many Canadian teams do you think there were?
Yeah, well, you had the Flames, you had the Oilers, right?
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Wait a minute.
You had the Toronto Maple Leafs. You had the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you had
the
Montreal Canadiens, and you had the Vancouver Canucks. That's it.
And that was it, huh? You didn't have the when the Edmonton Oilers come into play?
They didn't come until 1980-81.
Oh, wow.
They were in the WHA in the 70s.
Yeah. All right. Well, there it is.
See, I think Buffalo
beautiful.
And Vancouver were added to the league in 1970. So a majority of the teams were still in the United States back then, Paulie, is what I'm saying. So there's only two or three teams in Canada back then. So, but now there's obviously more than that. So, but that's still interesting, you know.
80-81 Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
All right. All right. They were
79-80 was probably their first year in the NHL. 79-80.
And it was.
Because that's when Hartford and Edmonton and Quebec came over from
right.
the Waha. And Winterpeg,
right. well,
too. Sorry, Winterpeg.
Winterpeg.
I call it Winterpeg.
And once again, Beth, you're awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And we're going to move to the next topic here. Well, damn it. I don't know if I wanted to. Yeah, we might as well just go. We're going to go. All right, here it is. I do want to touch base on one other topic, and then we're going to go all New York Rangers for the rest of the show. So Ranger fans should be happy. It's probably close to an hour of New York Ranger talk. I don't know how to handle this, so I'm just going to say what I got to say, and I'm going to try and be as politically correct as possible. I am, by the way, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to tell everybody who listens, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I am voting for Donald. I'm definitely voting for Donald Trump. I am a conservative. But even more than a Republican conservative, I'm a Donald Trump fan, and I'm over the establishment. But what I will tell you, the reason why I am, is because I hate the liberal agenda. And I'm going to try and handle this very decently and as politically correct as I feel I need to be. The situation with Shaw from the Blackhawks and the videotaping of his homophobic slur, calling the referee an effing faggot. You know what, people? This is a man's game, and it's a tough game. And you know what? I hate to tell you this, folks, but it's a tough world out there, and not everybody's going to say what you want to hear or how you want to hear it or how you like it. And I get
that maybe the professionalism isn't there, but I also get that this man and you know, is under a microscope for something that he said. And here's the last thing I'm going to say about this. I dare anybody to look in the mirror at themselves or someone that they care about greatly and look at them and say they've never had a slur or a mistake or anything of those of that magnitude. At the end of the day, it's a hockey game. He called the guy a fucking faggot. Big deal. Get over it. It doesn't need to be slandered all over the place and the man embarrassed and the league embarrassed. Handle something like this quietly and just let it go. And yes, I apologize, but I said it because I wanted to say it. I'll let Cassie take it from there.
Well, you know, I'm obviously a little bit older than you are, so you know, I'm 57 years old and I'm getting closer and closer to 60 every day. But it's the way of the world now, Paulie. Let's call it what it is. I mean, the politically correct, and I'll say too, left has got their agenda, and it's worked over the last 20 years. They've worked their way into getting things the way they want it, and obviously, it's not a word that's, you know, supposed to be used anymore. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I whether I agree with it or not, I just think sometimes, you know, you play a high end sport like hockey, football, whatever. Sometimes your emotions get there, and you know, and you revert back to the things that used to be semi okay to say. You know what I mean? It used to be semi okay to say. I mean, I can tell you flat out, folks, people listening tonight, that if you really want, to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, let's go back from, like, we'll say 1990 and back, all the way in the history of hockey, and I'll guarantee you everybody that played the damn game has said the thing at least 100 times, and that includes Wayne Gretzky and all the greats. Okay?
Right.
Plain and simple.
Right.
Is it okay in the modern day world? You know, I obviously it's not okay, because that's just the way things are these days. I mean, there's money to be made, and you know, when you say things that aren't politically correct anymore, you usually, it hurts you in the bank department. So that's why all the leagues, and that's why all, you know, society has changed their rules and to abide by, you know, what the people want, and that's what they get. But you know, I just caution people. You know, the only thing I don't like about like the way things have changed in this world is you know, you're not going to shame me into believing what you want me to believe, okay? Plain and simple.
Right.
Now, do I agree with what they did? Yeah, they had to do it, okay? But the last thing I'm going to let anybody do in my life, this late in my life, period, is have somebody speak for me, think for me, talk for me, shit for me, eat for me. That's not happening. So
yeah.
I think you can understand where I'm coming from. I mean, if I could go back and just tape record some of the conversations of games that I played, boy, oh boy, oh boy, we'd be suspended for life. You know, and we're not just talking about the F word. We're talking about a ton of words. You know what I mean?
That's true.
But you know, it's just the way it goes. And you know, unfortunately, for some of us, we have to, you know, abide by it. That's all there is to it. And the NHL, you know, had to do the right thing here to make everybody happy, Paulie, and that's the bottom line. And I understand Shaw, you know, he doesn't feel good about it. And but now, you know, what's gonna be the next word that's not allowed on in a sporting event or publicly? I mean, where are we going with all this, anyways? I mean, it's just like I always thought bad words were about the intent and how you say it to people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I mean, I've been called a grease. I've been called a grease ball. You know, I'm Greek. I've been called a grease ball. And if you say it with like a little anger in your voice and your teeth clenched, then I understand it. You're not too happy with me.
Right.
But if you're saying it jokingly, I understand that too. Now, I don't think Shaw was joking yesterday. I mean, that's pretty obvious. He was pretty upset. So they probably did the right thing, Paulie, but I'm still a little old school. I think there's some sacred ground still left, and you know, there should be some sacred ground where people are allowed to vent, and if they want to vent in a certain way, they should be allowed to. What's next? You know, are we gonna start, you know, miking our homes and stuff like that? And I don't know. I feel bad for the guy, but I understand the other side of it too, because the world changes,
sure.
and this is the way it has. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Anyway, I get it. You need to have some kind of professionalism, and I understand that. But I think you've said it a million times. These guys are under such a – you know, they're playing a game. They don't need to be under the microscope for, you know, every little thing that they do and say. And again, I think the important part here is there was no vicious or malicious intent of calling the referee a faggot in the way, like you said, with the intent of degrading him as a human being or something like
yeah.
that. It was yeah. just, it was like if he would have said, you know, you mother flower, using the other word, it would have been the same thing. So anyway,
it's all about
that,
the intent. You know, for us
exactly.
old school guys, it's all about the intent. But
right. and again,
you know,
I hate the
modern day
shit.
The modern day people. It's not just that word. There's all kinds of words they're trying to ban now. So I guess
yeah.
that's the way it is, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to live with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let that one die, and we'll move on to the next situation. All right. Let's
but I
talk
still think
about...
you're one, by the way. Just kidding.
Oh, man. That's fucking funny right there. That's good
yeah.
stuff. All right. Let me take a look. As last I checked and was indicated by, it is 2-1 now Philadelphia, leading Washington with 16 minutes in the third. And the last update was still nothing-nothing with the Islanders
yep.
and
yeah,
the
0-0
Panthers.
Yeah, 0-0 still in the Islander game.
The Islanders have a 2-1 lead there, right? In games, am I correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and so Panthers need to pull one out here if they want to make things interesting. All right, so let's talk about our beloved New York Rangers. We probably should cover some of the other side, but I'm just gonna go.
Well, you can cover the other side real quick. Let's cover it. I mean, San Jose stepped up there. Remember I was telling you last
yeah.
week that there's no pressure on them and all that stuff? You
yes.
know, I think we both yes. agreed that we thought L.A. would probably win the series. But, you know, listen, there's no pressure on San Jose. And, you know, they were one goal away from taking a 3-0 lead again like they did a couple of years ago against the Kings. But, hey, that's a great series. I've stayed up and watched most of it. Pretty good series. And how about Nashville? My God. Did we expect
yeah.
Nashville to go right into Anaheim and beat them twice? I didn't.
And your buddy Gabby, he's always in the middle when he needs to be. But I mean, the Ducks, you know, they responded last night, though, Cox.
Well, no, these teams
yeah.
are no slouches, the Kings and then the
yeah.
Ducks, but... You know, it makes for good hockey to see. You know, trust me, watching those two series is—I don't know what it is, but it seems like the intensity is way, way more up than up in anything in the East. Just that's the way.
Yeah,
it looks
I would agree. I would agree absolutely. They're physical. They're chippy. You know, and honestly, who would have thought that the Tampa Bay Lightning, Detroit Red Wing, would be
well,
so chippy?
You know, it's the Detroit thing. Like I told you, it's the last gasp
right.
for a couple of their great players. So,
right. But
you know.
You just would have never thought that series would have been chippy. But yeah, no. You know what? Out west, there's some really great matchups. And I'll tell you what, the other team that has impressed me and has been impressing all, you know, has been the Stars. They've been impressing all year long.
Oh, yeah.
They had a little bit of a lull, but at one point they were the hottest team in the league for long stretches. They cooled down a bit, but I'll tell you, the picking up of, you know, I and that's the thing. You look
yeah,
at
but they
Sharp,
got beat last
Sharp.
Night. They got beat last night.
But they have been impressive, Cox, I think.
No,
and
I know that, but
last,
like, I
yeah.
honestly didn't think Minnesota had a shot at winning anything.
Yeah,
they did. They came back and won 4-2 last
and they
night.
And it, yeah, and they came back from being behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
But You know what? I mean, it has been – out west has been really exciting hockey. And I tell you, there's a couple of really, really good teams out there. So, you know, it's going to be exciting as this boils down. And unfortunately, like we said previous in the show, you're still not going to see the best hockey teams come the next round. So that's the thing that sucks out of this. But let's move forward. Let's talk about the New York Rangers. There is a quick article that I was looking at that, you know, I know, and I only do this because I know you and a lot of New York Ranger fans are, you know, football fans as well. And apparently this player,
Nick Mangold.
he was at the game, and he's a New York Jets center. And apparently a big New York Ranger fan, and he was yelling at Crosby and taunting the Pittsburgh bench that the security actually asked him to calm down, Cossie.
Yeah, I did. I did see that. You know, I was there last night too as well. So,
yep.
I was at the game last night, but I'm sure they went up to him and asked him nicely because Mangold's about a 350-pounder and about 6'4". Social Security was really rough and tough with him at all. He's a pretty big dude, but yeah, it was interesting. I mean, he was doing a little yapping from behind there. He's in the front row right behind their bench, and that's not the first time he's done this though. He's been to games before where he's been pretty wild behind there, so. I kind of question why now do you have to, you know, scold them a little bit, but
I think I'm going to tell you why, because there's a big excerpt in the Post with Sidney Crosby, who said typically you don't see that from professional athletes, but at the same time, I don't have a problem with it. It's all part of the intensity of the game.
Yeah.
But, it's good. You know, it's good to see 300 plus pound man rooting for the New York Rangers and yelling at Sidney Crosby.
Well, there were three other New York Jets sitting next to him, Paulie.
Yeah, and they were all probably.
There was four New York Jets altogether, but Mangold's the monster. Like, it was Fitzpatrick, the quarterback, Decker, the wide receiver, and I can't remember the other one. They were all kind of like shrinking in their seat, the picture that I saw.
Right.
And Mangold's being exactly what he is, a big man screaming over it. He's got the big red beard, and he looks like a mountain man.
it's funny.
Yeah,
it is very funny, but you know what? I love it. It's good. It's good stuff. But, Koch, you were there last night. Let's start with last night, and we'll go backwards, I guess. And I'm not afraid to say
let's go through it last night a little bit. You know, it's one of those games. I mean, where the Rangers really didn't 17 shots on goals. I mean, you're not going to win hockey games with 17 shots on goals unless you give the other team only five, you know, but Pittsburgh shot them 30-something to 17 or something like that. Lundqvist did his job, you know, Rangers kind of coughed up one of the goal on Cullen there between Yandel and Boyle. They kind of like made a big mistake there, and you know, Cullen, give him credit, made a good shot on Lundqvist. But again, we can go back to, you know, Rick Nash scoring that shorthanded goal, giving the crowd a big boost, and then, you know, Kreider would have, if that goal by Kreider had a count, it would have been 2-0. You know, different story. But you know, bottom line is the coach's challenge came back to haunt them. The Victor Stahlberg, stick in the face from Letang, as far as really huge, really, really huge. Because, to me, it's a 5-minute major. I mean, he was cut. He had three teeth knocked out. And, you know, it would have been huge in the game as far as I'm concerned. But in the end, you know, when you only get 17 shots, you know, nobody stepped up offensive. They couldn't even get inside the blue line in like probably the last 10 minutes of the third period. I mean, every time they got the puck in, they got dumped right back out. I kept saying to myself, all you need is a faceoff, guys. You know, like in the last 4 minutes, just get a faceoff in their own. So they couldn't even get that. So they struggled a little bit. And it's probably the only game that I could honestly say and I know you're going to say different because that's just the way you are, but that I can honestly say that Pittsburgh might have played a little better than them, but not by much. Because I, as far as I'm concerned, the Rangers were the better teams the first two games. You know, but last night, they didn't have that same oomph that they had in Pittsburgh for game two. So I still think this is going to be a battle. I really do. I know the Pittsburgh fans are all happy that they got home ice advantage again and all that, but I don't think home ice advantage is going to mean much in this series, be honest with you.
That's what I saw last night.
That's what I saw.
Last time I'm going to do this, 917-889-3844. I'm going to let you fire some shots at me and Kotze.
Sure,
here.
Bring them on.
Talk about the New York Rangers. I am going to state some of my piece now with the New York Rangers.
Absolutely.
Kotze, you were there last night. You said what you said. Here's my biggest issue. My biggest issue, Kotze, is that you're playing your first home game. You come back with a big win on the road, a convincing win, a real convincing win. And again, you face a no-name goaltender in your building, and you get 17 shots on him. You can't score. You don't look like somebody has to explain this to me because I just don't get it. I don't know what it is. You're home in front of your crowd and you let this team take it to you. You're playing a third string freaking goaltender. The mindset to me, Kotze, would be everything on net every time. Everything. Let's hit the net with our shots. Let's pounce for rebounds. Let's drive the middle of the ice. That would be my thought, Kotze. I didn't play this game for a decade. I know you have, but I don't get it. How do you not get up? How do you not have enough adrenaline to be at home playing against another goaltender that the world has no idea who this kid is? And he stones you all night long.
Well, he doesn't hold it now. You're overstating it right there. He stones you? How does he stone you with 17 shots? Tell me he faced 34. And he
shame on
you.
Shame on you for not shooting.
No,
though.
It's not
that's
shame on
saying.
You. That's
where's the
you're
mindset?
Overstating things. Here's their biggest mistake last night. And if you watch the game, you'll admit it. They tried to carry the puck in last night. It never got in on a consistent basis. So let's see. What should you do next? Oh, you should be dumping and chasing, which they never did. So 17 shots is not a stoning by a goaltender. Trust me. They fell right into Pittsburgh's plans last night. The Penguins took away center ice. They took away the blue line. When that happens and you gain center, you pound the biscuit into the other team's zone and you go get it. Did they do that? No.
No.
They tried to carry the puck in consistently all night last night, and it didn't work. And that's why you only had 17 shots on goal.
All right, Kotze, so who do you throw the biscuit at?
You dump it in the corner and you go get it.
Okay.
It's called dump and chase. It's basic hockey.
I got that.
If you can't gain the blue line, you dump and chase.
We got that. We
understood
that
the
first time you said it. Okay.
They didn't do that.
Who's to blame when you don't make that adjustment, Kotze? Because
they all took the blame last night. The players admitted it. I don't know. You didn't watch the end of the game. You don't listen. I mean, I watched all the replays when I got home and listened to the players talk, and they were stupid. They said that we tried to carry the puck in, and they stopped us from carrying the puck in, and we didn't adjust. And Stepan came out and said we were stupid. So, I'm not going to knock Pittsburgh. They won the game, but they were slightly better than the Rangers. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to go. I'm going to totally disagree with you telling me they got stonewalled when a guy stopped 17 shots. My God.
Bro,
let me see if they get 34 shots and he gives up one goal. Then I'll bow my. I'll tip my hat to you. Well, you only get 17 shots. You could have put like a cardboard goaltender in there, and he would stop 17.
And it's pitiful, and it's shameful.
No, I agree. That part I'm not disagreeing with you about, but they just did not adjust to what they got that to do. If you look at game two, what did they do? What did they do in game two? What did they do in game two? They dumped it and they hit everything in sight. They had 57 hits.
Yes,
okay.
They played very physical.
Last night they tried to play dipsy doodle. They tried to do the dipsy doodle. I'm going to be the star. I'm going to carry the puck over. I'm going to burn this guy at the blue line. I'm going to get around the next guy. To hell with everybody else. I'm not going to dump a chase, or I'm not going to try and get on hold, and we'll go crash the net. That's what they did last night, and it backfired.
And you know what, Chris? That's my whole point about this team. That's my whole point about what I've been trying to – this is playoff hockey. Like, I don't understand. You don't – when you're successful and you score lots of goals in game two, why would you come away from that game plan? Why wouldn't you continue to take bodies? Why wouldn't you
– I don't know. All I'm telling you is what the players said afterwards. They said they played stupid last night.
Yeah,
that's all I can tell you. I don't know what goes through their minds. I don't know. I can't tell you what goes through their minds. I'm not playing that dressing room.
Absolutely embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But again,
well,
let's
call it what it is here. You and I have a gentleman's disagreement over this. Had the Rangers won last night, you'd be silent tonight. You know that, right? Because you were actually shocked that they won 5-2 the other night.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you were.
I wouldn't say that I was shocked. But what I will say is that. You never know. I just don't think that this team is a Stanley Cup contender at all because of
I can't argue with you on
so
that. I told you that from the beginning.
So
I can't argue with that. But I also told you who is.
But look at the immaturity.
Chicago's certainly not a Stanley Cup contender this year, are they?
Yeah, but you know what? They got three
no, they're
in the
not.
Last six.
They're not.
Doesn't matter.
Just like you're
Chris,
adamant about
the
Rangers.
In the last six.
I don't care. We're
matter.
Talking about this year.
Okay, and it shows you the immaturity of the team. Right now, it shows you this team's not even close. Not even close. Last night, that's fine.
You can stand by your statements, and I agree with half of them. I'm not going to agree with you about a goaltender stonewall somebody facing 17 shots. I've used the word three times tonight.
I said stoned, but it's a shame that you can't beat a rookie goaltender who's played, what, 9 games in the NHL? His first playoff game last night?
Again, I can't really argue on that, but I've always told you one thing. You know, when they put a jersey up in your stall, that means you play National League hockey. Okay?
I get it, man. I get it.
You know,
I get
they put a jersey
it,
up
brother.
In your stall. It says you're good enough to play in the National Hockey League.
I get it.
All right?
I get
so
it.
Whether it's 900 yeah. games or 9 games, the yeah. Pittsburgh Penguin yeah. coach and assistant coaches and GM agreed that this guy can play in a National Hockey League game.
That's wonderful.
So, but
the
17 shots, I agree. That's disappointing. You just... You know, you're at home and you only get 17 shots. Hell, when you're at home, you should be getting 17 shots in the first period.
Exactly. Pathetic.
No,
I
said that. I agree with you on that part. I mean, they should have 17 shots, but they didn't adjust. The players refused to adjust their style, and you know. And I 2-1 game. I mean, we could talk about it. Should have been 2-0 Rangers, and how Crosby scored a real lucky goal that went off his legs. Nobody wants to mention that. You know what I mean? You know, how lucky a goal, again, in the last minute on a power play. But, you know, with 4 minutes to go, I still had, like, just get a face-off. You need a face-off in their zone. They could couldn't even get a face-off. I was shocked. Eh? Like, come on, just a face-off. Somebody. Dump it in, freeze the puck along the boards, get a face-off, take a timeout, and then, you know, rethink this thing.
Well,
they couldn't even get a face-off. They couldn't even get inside the zone to get a face-off in the last 4 minutes of the game.
Take a look at some stats here. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Well, it is 2-1 right now, Philly, with 6.5 to go in that one.
0-0 in the Islander game.
And Florida are still tied at nothing.
The Islanders
lead that
game. They had a goal review in the game. I don't know if you know that.
Haven't been
there
yet.
There was a goal review. A Florida guy got tripped going into the goaltender, and his momentum put the puck in the net. The official review, they waved it off, and then Gerard Gallant, the coach, challenged it and still got waved off.
That's awesome.
So that took about 7 minutes to do.
Oh, my God, that's great. All right, let's talk about the New York Rangers, and I have to bring this up as well because this is horrifying. Let me find it here. Hold on. Eric Staal is a -5. He leads the team. What is going on with that, Chris? Explain that to me, please.
Well, I think he's just trying way too hard. He's trying to make things happen when he should let things happen come to him. You know, he's trying to, justify coming over as a hired hand. You know, late in the season to help out the Rangers, and I think he's just, you know, it happens. It happens even to veterans. You know, where I remember when I got traded to Toronto, I'd already been in the league for 5 years, and you know, I was a 7-year pro already, and in my first 5 games of Toronto, I was just absolutely horrendous because I was trying to do everything, block shots, hit guys, fight guys, do this, offense, blah, blah, blah. And every time I looked around, the puck was in the net, in our net. And they were smart enough to sit me out for about a week there in Toronto and just let me relax a little bit. I went on a whole Western trip without playing a game, and then when I got back, I ended up being like basically the best defenseman the rest of the year, you know, arguably with Boreas Salming, but I think Eric Staal is doing the same thing. I think he's just like trying way, way too hard, you know. But I will say this, you know, there certainly hasn't been a lot of consistency when it comes to what his line is. I'll leave it up to you to read into that one.
Well, he's playing with Jesper Fast.
Yeah, and he's played with who else? In the short time he's been here, as he's played with just about everybody on the Rangers up front.
He was consistently playing with Kevin Hayes, wasn't he?
No, but he's been moved around from center to left wing, to center to left wing, to center to left wing, to everywhere.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of consistency there. So it's hard for a guy to come from a certain organization where you play a certain style in that organization, and you come here and you got to play a little different. And then you're very unfamiliar with the players you're playing with. But in the end, he's got to pick it up too. I mean, you know, -5 in 3 games is not good.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to dump on a guy. The guy's, you know, quality player, had a good career and all that stuff. And I think he's trying. It's just not working right now for him. I think he's just got to calm down and let the game come to you. You know what I mean? Like, you've been there and done this before.
Sure.
Like, stop forcing it.
Sure. Well, they need to do a lot of things, and one of them is start putting the puck in the net on the power play. Last night, though, the positive here is to see Rick Nash with a beautiful goal. On a shorthanded opportunity, semi-breakaway. I don't know if you'd call it a breakaway because he had somebody all over him later.
Florida just scored.
Well, Chris Kotsopoulos with the updates. Florida Panthers look like they're taking a 1-0 lead over the New York Islanders. But back to Rick Nash. I mean, hopefully that's a positive for the New York Rangers. If this guy can get going, because we've talked about it, his offensive contributions are very, very important here with a team that lacks a lot of offensive ability.
Well, he's done his job so far. You know, regardless what Ranger fans think, last time I looked, they played three games. He's got 3 points, ties him for the lead in points. So, where are the other guys?
Yeah. Huh.
Well,
good question.
Just pointing it out, you know, he's probably, you know, lagging a little bit on the offensive side, you know, that I'll give, you know, he probably could do a little bit more, you know, I think if they expect more out of him, but on the other hand, he's still tied for the lead on the team in total points in the playoffs, three, whatever, he's an even player, he's not a minus, so he's not a plus, but, you know, he's also, I don't like admitting this, but he's probably their best two-way player now.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'd rather see him score 45 goals and be a minus 10. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I gotcha. I gotcha. I gotcha.
Because that's, you know, you can live with a guy like that.
Rick
but no,
Nash.
He's played well. Nobody can complain about Rick Nash, how he's played in the playoffs so far. Please, please don't. Because if you are, then you're just holding on to like anger from years past.
No, I you know, and again, like I said, it's really important that he get going here. But
I agree.
Yes,
I totally agree.
Rick Nash, Derek Brassard, and JT Miller lead the team with 3 points apiece. Miller's got 3 assists. Rick Nash and Broussard
got all one game.
Goal.
Miller had a great game in game two, you know, but Nash just scored a point
yeah.
in every game.
Yeah.
Or no, he got 2 assists in that game.
Derek Stepan, 2 goals. Zuccarello
yep.
with 2 points. After that, it's very anemic. Let's see here, though. Here's what I want to look at. I thought McDonough looked pretty good last night. Kotz, what'd you think? Especially playing with a broken hand.
Well, you know, I think he looked okay. I don't think he looked great. I don't think he looked bad. I mean, I did detect that he's. I don't think the hand's as strong as it can
no.
be because
he
have a couple opportunities where he could have really rifled the puck a few times and he really didn't.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that you know, I pick out. You know, I look for the unusual, and that's, you know, you can tell. He broke his hand. It's only been 10 days, guys. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about Dylan McIlrath. It's really a subject that's starting to get me pissed off. I got to be honest with you. Don't get me wrong. Brady Shea has definitely got a spot in the lineup next year. There's no doubt, because you got to say that this kid – has pretty good composure, and it's no doubt that his feet can keep up with the speed of the game. I think we all know that that's Dylan's weakest point. The speed of the game is a little bit past Dylan McIlrath as far as foot speed goes, but he adds a lot of components. And I'm not too sure. I know they're talking about, you know, Dan Girardi, he's hurt. Everybody else seems to be, you know, with Ryan McDonough coming back. But, Kotz, I mean, I really get worried on the treatment of Dylan McIlrath. Did you think he looked bad in game two?
No. He got beat a couple times on the outside, but his length didn't give the guy clear length or clear shot at the goal each time. You know, does he still need to adjust to the speed? He's not played enough games in a row to understand angles and speed 100% yet. You know,
right.
you just can't do that to a big, strong guy like that, where, you know, you throw him in against a fast Pittsburgh Penguin team and expect him to, like, you know, play like Ryan McDonough when it comes to the speed part of it. You know, it just doesn't
right.
work that way. It takes time for big guys to understand, okay, this guy's quick, this guy's not quick. That guy's really fast, that guy's not really fast. So you understand how to play these guys when they come flying down on you at their whatever their top speed is. You know,
right.
I mean, and I don't think it's fair to have him in and out of the lineup like that personally. I think he deserves a spot in the lineup. You know, you can say that, you know, the speed is the biggest, you know, minus that he has. But you know what, the guy's got a hell of a shot, too. He's probably got the hardest shot in the team.
Yeah, he does
you know,
have a hell of a shot.
You know,
But,
and
but
he does
Josh,
add one thing. He does add one thing that
physical,
even in the playoffs,
physical.
I know there's no fighting and stuff, but I'm going to tell you, he does add one thing.
It's
he's
physical.
6 foot five. He's 230
yeah, he's
pounds. And
yeah, he's
and let me tell you, everybody in that Pittsburgh Penguin bench knows that if you mess with him, you could have your head handed to you. So there's a little bit more tiptoeing going around when he's on the ice, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
And he's the only New York Ranger outside on defense, outside of maybe Kevin Klein a little bit, that will play that style, you know?
I'm trying to get a game-by-game breakdown, and I'm still looking for it, but here's the thing.
Of what?
Well, his minutes in game two.
Yeah, they dropped
Rangers
him down to like he only played like two. He only played like two minutes and 7 seconds, I think, in the third period of the game.
Yeah,
too.
And what?
But I'm okay with that, though. And I think he'd be okay with that too. But he ended up playing. I think he ended up playing like just under 10 minutes the whole game. And that, you know, to me, if he plays under 10 minutes every game, I'm okay with that. I'm sure he is too. But if he plays 9 minutes today and then he doesn't play again, like say they win this round, he doesn't play again until game five of the next round, what do you want him to do?
Right.
Win it or tie it for you? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. That was good. Well, you know, I don't know. He's become one of my favorites, and I just hope that this kid gets a chance. Now, you know, he's in a contract year, I believe, come the summer.
Yeah.
And I really want to see this kid get signed and become a New York Ranger for a long, long period of time. But
it'd be great,
you know,
honestly,
Paulie.
Like honestly, right now, I think if things go the way they should, and I think they should, you're seeing two of your future defensemen that I think will start as two of the top six next year.
Absolutely,
Shea and McElroy.
You got to figure Dan Boyle's not coming back, and I don't think that the New York Rangers brass has the balls to buy out one of the defensemen because, you know, I don't know how many compliance buyouts.
You know what? I don't know about that. I'm just saying. I think you're jumping the gun on that one.
That's what I'm saying. I know they won't. I know they won't.
I think you're wrong. I think that it might be a possibility.
Well, I got to ask you, okay, because, and I know you got to be careful, but I got to ask you. Girardi and Staal, I'm sorry, in my heart of hearts, I've been saying this, and Kotze, you know I've been saying this for a long time. Mark Staal should have been moved a long time ago.
Tavares scored.
So it's tied 1-1 over there.
Yeah, they were on the power play with 15 seconds to go in the second period. He just roofed one.
Yeah, what's that, his fourth goal of the playoffs? He's on fire,
man. He sucks. He sucks.
He sucks.
Anyhow, getting back to the Girardi Staal situation. Well, I know where you're going with it.
I think
put
Girardi's
their hard work
hurt
in.
Right now. Yep.
Okay, yeah, he's hurt. But listen, these guys did put their hard work in. They did play in some significant, you know, runs to, you know, trying to win Lord Stanley for the Rangers. You know what I mean? And they played a long time.
Right.
Even though, I think Staal's like probably still like around 27 years of age or something like that. But Girardi's creeping past 30 and. You know, it's hard to watch Dan Girardi, you know, the way he's playing right now, whether he's injured or not, because the guy gave so much, you know, to the Rangers, period.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He blocked shots. He used to be really physical his first couple of years, and then that kind of backed off a little. But he was always like a grinding, you know, intelligence-type defenseman, you know, just steady Eddie back there. And, you know, if he's hurt, he's hurt. There's nothing you can do about it. But I think you know they're obviously both in long-term contracts with the Rangers, and I think there might be a decision made. Quite honestly, I think we're going to have to think about something happening coming up.
Here's where I'm going with that. I have to say, I mean, I think I love Klein. I think Klein is He gives you, you know, he gives you what he's got.
Oh, he's a keeper. He's a keeper. Oh, he's a keeper.
Definitely a keeper, no doubt about it. You know, he's the typical, prototypical defenseman that you want out there. But you know what? I think Yandel's been really good this year. I think he's been very good. I won't say really good. I think he's been really very good for the team. And I know that they don't have room to you know, pay this guy. But with a compliance buyout for one of the defensemen that they're holding on to, you know, $5-6 million a year, I'd like to see Dan Boyle's either going to retire or just go away. You got McDonough ain't going nowhere, thank God. You got you got Kevin Klein, you got McDonough. You're going to have to keep Stoller Girardi. So there's your top three. Brady Shea, I think, has got a chance for the sixth defenseman, if not the fifth defenseman. You know,
no, Brady,
I don't
Brady
know
Shea will be
do.
There. Brady Shea will be there for sure next year. I'm not making that prediction right now.
Right. Well, do you think they use a buyout to try to keep Yandel?
I think
Yandel's
it's a good possibility
away?
Papali, right. I'm telling you, I don't know who it's going to be, but I think there's a good possibility. Right. If they have that option, there's going to be a buyout of somebody after this season.
Right.
I think there's a good possibility of that happening. Who? I don't know.
Right. Well,
you know, I just do. Because eventually you got to get, you know, in order for you to get things right on the ice, you got to get things right in the salary department.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, you can't just get things like right on the ice anymore and just spend. The league took care of that. And I totally disagree with that, because to me the league's a business, and why shouldn't a business be able to run its own business the way they want to? That's just me.
Sure. All right, we got about 7 minutes left in this debacle. What do the Rangers got to do right? And in all honesty, how do you feel? How do you feel about the Rangers in this series against the Penguins?
I still think they got a shot. I know you don't, but I watched games. Okay, I was seen one in person. I do not see the big juggernaut in the Pittsburgh Penguins that everybody's talking with this 14-2 team down the end. They have not dominated the New York Rangers in one single game. Period.
Okay.
You may disagree. Others may. But I haven't seen it. So I think the Rangers, it's a must-win tomorrow night. They got to win tomorrow. If they win tomorrow, she's a whole new ball game again. Everybody's going to be like, you know, the naysayers will be eating their words again, okay? But tomorrow's got to be big. They got to come out. Whatever it takes tomorrow. If it means dumping and chasing, you dump and chase. If it means dipsy dueling, whatever. You should be able to adjust on the go as a player. You shouldn't have. It shouldn't have to be somebody screaming on the bench at you, going, "Hey, you got to do this now." You should know by now. I mean, you're in the NHL. You know, you should know what it takes. They should know.
Well, you know, you say that, Chris, but they didn't make
it. Yeah, but, you know, I know we're talking about the New York Rangers, but you know what? There's a whole bunch of teams that aren't playing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just the way it is. It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, well.
Are you going to sit there, look me in the face, but look into your mic there. And tell me that Pittsburgh's look like the dominant team in this series.
No, but you see, I don't think.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
No, here.
That's all
here
I wanted to
hear.
I don't want to. Like, we're not even going to discuss it anymore.
But I do.
That's all I wanted
to
hear.
I'm not saying Pittsburgh's
worthy of winning this series. They are. They can win it too. But they are not dominant. I told you that beforehand.
No, you are correct.
And I don't care what happens. They're not dominant.
You know what, Chris? I am not going to argue that fact. I agree with you, and I agree with you that nobody has been dominant, and that I don't believe either team has been dominant. But here's what I do feel, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I don't think anybody understands what I'm saying when I say this. I don't see this team as a team good enough to win this thing. That's what I don't see. You know, you talked about, you look around the league and you look at the teams that know where the adjustments need to be made and where they're going to be made. Like the other night, I was so impressed with so many other teams. You know, teams that are coming back from two goals behind. The Islanders came back from practically three goals behind the other night. There's something there that I just don't see with this team that I see along the lines with other teams.
Okay.
You're correct.
I agree with you.
When he's got a point-blank chance and he doesn't bury it, or Eric Staal has a point-blank chance and he doesn't bury it, and time and time again, you see that more often than not.
Yeah, but you're not watching all the other games when a guy like Perry's not burying it when he's supposed to, too, in Anaheim the first two games. You're just like you got total blinders. I understand because we're Ranger people, okay? But this is what happens. When anybody in their right mind guessed that Nashville would have went into Anaheim and win the first two games?
Again, it's...
No, if there's somebody, please tell me.
I know what you're saying, and that's
what
I don't believe.
What I'm saying to you is that as much as you don't see, and I agree with you on that, that this team is not as strong as it's been in the past. I'm not going to like sit there and tell you, you're not going to convince me that they can't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh who?
Oh,
really?
I think they
had to get hot at the end of the year just to get where they were.
And I get that, and I think any team can beat any team on any given
night. And now you're talking about the Islanders coming back strong against the big, powerful Florida Panthers? Really?
Not what I. But no, Chris.
Really?
You're twisting what I'm saying.
Hope and no hope of winning a Stanley Cup.
Okay, you're twisting what I'm saying, though. That's not what I'm talking about, though.
You've been saying the same thing over and over and over again. They're in. They got 100 plus points, just like 10 other fucking teams did in the playoffs this year. You know.
All right. Well. That's fine. I'm not going to reiterate.
Yeah, I do agree with you. They're not as strong as they've been in the past. No, you're right. You're dead on. But if they somehow manage to beat this team, I'm leaving this up in the air. I hope you say the same thing when they beat the Capitals, because I'm telling you, the Capitals are going to choke somewhere along the line.
Oh, boy. All right. Well,
They will.
At the end of the day, we have different opinions.
Yeah, I know. But like, you cheer for a team, but you have no confidence, period, in them at all. None.
No, when it comes to big game performances, no, you're right. I don't. I don't see one big game player.
No, you've made that clear. You've made that clear.
I know. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I mean, aside from Hank, and that's my whole point, you know?
Were you the one that said there was going to be four straight against the Rangers, too, by the way? Pitcher was going to beat them four straight, too?
No, I didn't say they were going to get swept. I will go back. I said it's going to go seven, and I actually picked the Rangers in this. Said it was going to go seven. I picked the Rangers, but it doesn't mean I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. You're right.
No,
I don't think
the
Penguins are a juggernaut. And did they go in hot? I absolutely do. I know they went in hot, but you know what bothers me at the end of the day, Kotz? This team just doesn't have it. They don't have it, and I know it. And I know it in my heart of hearts. They don't have it. They don't impress me. I don't look at this team like I have looked at other teams and said, they got a chance, I believe. I don't. I just don't.
I've agreed with you on that part when it comes to the finality of it all, but they're not any worse than the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm sorry. That's all. I'm leaving it at that. The Pittsburgh Penguins have yet to show any dominance at all. And I know they're up 2-1, but at least the Rangers showed some kind of dominance when they won the game, 5-2. That final game was an aberration in the first game because they outplayed them.
You know what? And you're exactly right, and I think that proves my point even more. I don't think the Pittsburgh Penguins at all have dominated the New York Rangers, but yet the New York Rangers are down 2-1 to a team that actually they should beat. They have better goaltending. The fucking Penguins have 2 third-string goaltenders.
But that's not what you said when this started. Hold it now. I'm going to catch you in your own words here. You said the Pittsburgh Penguins, they scared you. You
I said they scare
them
me because
they won
14
out of 15 in the end, and the Rangers wobbled, and were all over the Penguins,
in.
And now you're
they
not.
They were the hottest team. They're the hottest team in the league going into this, Kotz. I get that. I get that. And, yes, that's what I said. Absolutely. Play with goaltenders that have yet to touch the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you can't bombard this team and just keep filling the net on them, and you can't score on power plays, and you can't score on breakaways, and you can't score on 2-on-1s, and these goaltenders look like fucking all-star Henrik Lundqvist goaltenders, and you're still down.
Stop it! Now you're ridiculous.
On,
now you're being ridiculous.
Come on,
here.
Man.
17 shots again yesterday. Okay, don't give me the give me the all-star goaltender routine, please, on that one. Please don't.
That's on who though?
I don't give a shit. 17 shots.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day,
don't judge it off of 17. You want to brag about them being stoning the Rangers? Let me know that he stopped 35 or 40. But when you're justifying 17 shots that this guy did it, please stop it.
Well. Come on. At the end of the day, you lost the game. You put
one
goal
the game.
I could be
a nitpicker. They should have been a 5-minute major penalty, and that would have been a power play. The Kreider goal should have counted. It would have been 2-0. Then what would you have said? What excuse would you have then?
You're
not
going to
disagree on this. We're allowed to. That's why we do the show.
I disagree with you.
17 shots does not make an all-star goaltender. Please.
Exactly. I never said it made an all-star goaltender. It's shameful that you can't beat this goaltender. That's what's shameful. It's shameful. Shame on you. 17 shots, you could talk all day long. The bottom
Maybe I should get you where it really hurts. Maybe we should bring Torts back.
What has Torts got to do with it?
Because if Torts behind the bench, you'd be pissing all over him.
Oh man, it's got nothing.
You know it
with
too.
It.
You know it too.
It's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, now it's got nothing to do with it. It
it's
did when he was there.
It, you know what? I'm gonna go back on you because you're the one who said. You're never going to – there's no team that's ever going to gear up against a Matt Zuccarello or a Derek Stepan. And here
no,
we
they're
are.
Not.
With,
no, they're not.
With third-line players
no, they're not.
Playing first-line minutes, not scoring goals, not,
that's
not
right.
doing what
that's
they need
right.
to do.
I said that. I've said that.
I know.
And I've
and
said that all along from day one years ago.
Exactly.
And there was times
that's
years
where
ago where you defended them. And you finally come to see the light 4 years later, 3 years later. You were defending the same people I was talking about years ago.
Chris.
Yes, you were.
I have said all year
yes,
long
you were.
That you're not going to win this game. You're not going to win on the backs of these guys. They're good players. No. But the whole thing, my whole comparison all year long has been the formula doesn't work anymore. You're not going to win with an $8 million goaltender and nothing else in front of him. The rest of the league has changed. The Rangers haven't. The bottom line is all the cap money's wrapped up in two players, Rick Nash and Henrik Lundqvist. The formula doesn't work. They need to make the adjustment. You're not going to – and
And not that I agree with you in the past, and I agree with you now. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup on the back of Derek Stepan and Matt Zuccarello. You're just not going to do it. And outside of those two guys, you got Rick Nash. What do you got? You got a bunch of rookies. There's a bunch of good players on this team, but there is no greatness. There is no leadership. There is no game breaker on this team. It's all sitting on Hank, and Hank's time, I believe, he'll be elite, but he's not that. He'll steal you a game. Listen, game two, he was great. He did a lot of stealing. That's why he got the hat, and the Rangers were able to put the puck in the net. But I don't know to do this on a consistent basis, and that has been my point the whole time. I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I've been trying to say all year long that I've understood, you know, when the Rangers had Hank when he was amazing, and they had Rick Nash, and they had Marion Gabrick, those were the times where the New York Rangers needed to excel, and they didn't. But you can't look around the league and look at the Tavareses and every other team in this league that have dominant goal scoring and game changing players. You don't have that on this team.
Neither do a bunch of teams in the playoffs. I'm going to interrupt you though. Who's the dominant scorer in Florida? Don't give me Yager. Where's the bust 'em out scorer there? They made the playoffs, didn't they?
Okay, they made the playoffs, but there are
Cinderella Nashville.
Teams.
Who's the dominant scorer in Nashville?
Do you think that?
Well, I'm asking you to give me names, and you can't.
Okay. But Kotz, I'm not saying these teams are going to win the Stanley Cup either. I don't think Florida.
No, you just
generalized
saying that everybody's changed except for the Rangers.
Okay. The teams that are really good in the league that have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Thank
that
you.
Been there
when
year
you,
year,
listen,
year,
when you narrow it down like that, I can't argue with you, but you make it sound
okay.
Like there's the Rangers and there's everybody else.
No, I think you know what
that's,
I mean. When Paulie,
that's
talking
how
about
you're saying it.
Stanley Cup, but we're
that's
talking
how you're
about
saying it,
the
though.
Stanley Cup. We're not talking about making the playoffs. The Rangers made the playoffs for the last decade. This isn't about that. This is about we've mortgaged
no,
our
but
future.
That's how you,
we've thrown
to,
away the
listen,
future.
Well, again, whether you like it or not, you were generalizing to the point that there's the Rangers and everybody else. Now that you've narrowed it down, now it makes sense what you say.
Well, sure.
You
got to
narrow it down. You can't just
competing.
Sit there and put a blanket on the rest of the league and tell me that they're all doing the right thing.
No.
So you narrowed it down. It makes sense now. Your argument makes sense now. But the way you were portraying it, you're generalizing like it's the Rangers that have done nothing, and yet they got 100 points and made the playoffs, and everybody else that got 100 points have been doing everything. Well, they haven't been. Not everybody.
Well,
facts
thought,
are facts. I mean, I'm looking at a Florida team here. Another, honestly, other than Yarmer Yager, I couldn't name you one player on that. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian Campbell, only because of the big contract. I couldn't name you another player on the Florida Panthers. Nashville, I, other than the big defenseman there and Neil, I don't even know anybody on their team.
All right.
So now that you narrowed it down, yeah, you make a lot of sense. That if you want to go that way, like narrow it down to like the teams like Washington, what they did, how they built their team, you know, and finally, you know, got Ovechkin to buy into, you know, how hockey's really played and stuff like that. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you then.
Yeah. Well, isn't the leading scorer in the league right now playing for the Florida Panthers? Riley Smith.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who?
He's the leading scorer. Riley Smith.
Oh, in the playoffs.
Smith.
Oh, okay. So you're going to use the playoffs as – did you even hear Riley Smith before the playoffs started?
No, but cut.
Thank you. So that's a bad a bad example.
Okay, but again, I'm just telling you right now, Riley Smith is second in goal scoring behind Kucherov
from
and he scored like I think he scored like all his goals in one game. He got a hat trick.
The Lightning. But here's what again, I'm talking about the teams that are
even my dog
scary.
Even my dog agrees with me.
Even I'm talking about the teams that are scary. I'm talking about the teams that are consistently in the playoffs. You know, yeah. Are there some Cinderellas out there? And the Florida Panthers won, and they had a great season this year, and they should be very proud of themselves. And, you know, if they get knocked out in the first round, oh, well. If they make it to the second round, it'll be very impressive. But at the end of the day, brother, I'm talking about the New York Rangers and the other teams that, you know, you got to look at what the Rangers have done in the last 5 years and how they keep selling away mortgaging and mortgaging more and more of their future to try to win, which I'm good with.
But they did all that, Paulie.
Awesome.
Yeah, they did all that. The last few years, they've done all that. That's the bottom line.
Well,
they've done all that. They brought in the Gavricks. They brought in the Rick Nashes. They brought in the Yandels. They've done all this, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know what? They're not the only team that's done it, though. You know? That's just the nature of the beast. They made the right.
Hey guys, this is Paulie D with the Instigators Hockey Show with some exciting news. Now's your chance to advertise with us right here on the show. Whether it's a live read-in or a produced spot, this is the time to go top shelf and advertise with the Instigators Hockey Show. For more information, please email us at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. That's theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And drop the gloves on the competition.